Good evening to you. I'm Gredston Seeley. Welcome to another edition of the Better Health Radio Show. And on deck this evening, we've got Dr. Keo St. Hill, and of course, she's got a packed program for you. So let's see if we can reach out and say a very special evening to Dr. Keo Ford St. Hill. Good evening.
Good evening, Gredston. Sorry about the technical issues.
Yeah, it happens.
We know how that goes.
Yeah, correct.
But I'm here with another exciting program for you. And today we're actually going to be talking about nursing in Barbados. So you hear from the doctor and you hear from all sorts of people, but I have a very well-esteemed colleague with me here today. But let me start by welcoming our listeners here on the Better Health Radio Show. And this show is aimed at raising public awareness of common health issues that affect us all. And as Gregson told you, I am Dr. Keo Ford St. Hill, and it's my pleasure to be your host this evening. We're very much looking forward to an engaging and interactive session this evening, and I take this opportunity to remind you that you can contact us with your questions and comments either by calling us at 434-1790, or you can send your WhatsApp messages to 266-4862, and Gregson will read them for us. So you can call at 434. I'm so sorry about that. Or send us a WhatsApp at 266-4862. All right. So as I said before, today we are going to speak about nursing in Barbados. And I have, as I said, is a good friend of mine, well-esteemed colleague, who is actually on the executive of the Barbados Nurses Association. And with us, we have Mr. Ryan Lewis. Ryan Lewis is a nursing officer and a mental health officer at the psychiatric hospital with over 22 years experience. And he advocates strongly for mental health. Honestly, when I read this, I was like, 22 years? I find this impossible for this young man. I mean, older than me, but still. Starting at humble beginnings as a trainee nursing assistant, he pursued formal training at the Barbados Community College and obtained an associate degree in mental health nursing in 2003, followed by a diploma in general nursing in 2011. He continued with management studies at the University of the West Indies with an executive diploma in general management from the period of 2014 to 2016. Before completing an MBA, so that's a Master's of Business Administration at the University of South Wales in 2019. Ryan is also an executive member, as I said before, of the Barbados Nurses Association. He was the PRO, the Public Relations Officer, from 2021 to 2023. And he's currently the first vice president who utilizes his platform to create awareness of various mental health issues and conditions, dually allowing nurses like himself to use their voice as a health instrument in the Barbados domain. Additionally, he assists in the fight for better conditions for all nurses across the nation. Welcome, Mr. Ryan Lewis.
Thank you for having me, Keo. It was always a pleasure.
Good. So, Gregson, a lot of people, you know, they're accustomed to the doctor, they hear from the doctor, but the healthcare team is just that. It's a team made up of different professionals, and we have different roles, but we all work together, right? So today we're going to seek to help persons understand the importance of a nurse. Some might understand, but some might not really get it, and speak more about, people may have their idea or vision of what a nurse is, but from what you heard with Mr. Lewis's bio, you can see that he's an extremely multifaceted person that has gone beyond just clinical nursing. So, Ryan, tell us a little bit about the Barbados Nursing Association, because some people might not even know that we have one.
Well, the Barbados Nurses Association is both a statutory and a staff associations board, where we look at the representation of nurses. We agitate for obviously the improvements in terms of educational pursuits, in terms of environmental conditions for where the nurses is working, with in the world, the, or the physical plant for where they practice nursing and render care to clients. We also look at improving the condition of our nurse-to-client ratio, which at times remains a taboo topic. And I think as we delve deeper into our conversations, the question is going to emerge about what our safe ratios and possibly staff shortages worldwide and the impact of nursing in Barbados and more or less across the region and the international shores. So we look at trying to improve those things so that care that is given is rendered safely to both the persons that we are serving and, of course, to ourselves, the practitioners, that we are exercising prudence, due diligence, making sure that our practices are safe, and that we can attend to the needs of the public and of our loved ones and journey those persons through the vulnerable times of their lives from that place of not being well to a place of being well and safely. So the Staff Association, Barbados Nurses Association, is very, very instrumental in agitating for these things. Over the past 2 years of during COVID, there were many conversations public-wide about the increases in nursing. We've obtained assistance from the Cuban, our Cuban compatriots. We've gained also assistance from our Ghanaian neighbors to implement and improve our and bolster our nursing strength and our attention to persons that need our help and our care. So the dire need for nursing, we continue to have these efforts for improvement. There have been many conversations about improving our educational pursuits so that we can add value into what we do. We don't necessarily see ourselves as subservient to doctors, but like you say, there's a team, and we have this lateral conversation where the patient is our object, is our main focus, and we give our objective views about what can be done and how we can, from all different sides, the social, the medical, the psychological, and so on, how we can improve this person's life and quality of life. So Barbados Nurses Association has been very instrumental in getting all of these things logistically, agitating for these things with all the institutional leaders, government leaders for better improvements and so on.
Thank you so much for that. And I'm glad that you touched on that of not feeling subservient to doctors, because I try to stress that, particularly to medical students and even to patients, that is a team. We have different roles. And there's nobody in the team that is better than the other, because there are a lot of things, there are roles that each of us have that the other person just cannot do. And we respect each other for that. So you touched on some of these things about advocating for the patient and that sort of thing, but tell me a little bit about the role of a nurse in the medical team.
Well, the role of a nurse is very, very, very multifaceted. Oftentimes, any nurse that has a wealth of experience will tell you that they're that hub in the center of the wheel. They're the person that will coordinate the healthcare team, get the doctor, the dietitian, the physiotherapist, social worker, psychologist, because they're the ones that are with the client around the clock. They're the ones that are seeing the different deficits manifested, be it physically, mentally, socially. If somebody's coming to visit this person every day and bringing them things, if they are not responding well to the medication that the doctors have prescribed, and maybe to utilize or pursue an alternative. Or maybe if the diagnosis, after the doctor has communicated diagnosis and let him know, well, maybe this is your prognosis and this is what you need to do to change. We see that refractory phase where the person psychologically becomes, on some things, in some instances, defeated, as if they think their diagnosis is an impending death sentence. And we, you know, we help them, we reassure them, let them know, well, no, your quality of life can be adjusted. A few simple steps can be tailored. We want you to take it one step at a time. So we are multifaceted, where we communicate to the different arms of the healthcare team and those needs that the patient themselves sometimes cannot communicate.
So yeah, almost like a coordinator, kind of.
A coordinator or a liaison.
Yes.
Right? We also are very instrumental in dealing with students, and not only medical students, but nursing students, and assisting them with their studies, their gaining their skills, and so on, passing that baton on. Nursing can be also, what can I say, a mentor. A nursing can be a facilitator. A nursing can be that person that utilizes or bridges technology with healthcare in terms of informatics and researching and so on. So our role can be very, very, very expansive. It's not limited to just bedside care. So with offering a product, there's always that service component and how we deliver it and what we need to do to improve and make the person feel comfortable and let them know that I am with you through this journey that you're on, and we're going to see you through it to the end. That's what a nurse is.
Yeah, and one of the things that I wanted to mention was that a lot of my day-to-day medical training I actually learned from nurses. Because from the time I went into QEH, I remember as a student, the more senior doctors would have told me, you know, be respectful to the nurses, they're going to teach you a lot. And it's very true, because they're with the patient every day. And there's a lot that you can actually learn as the doctor from the nurse, and vice versa. So there needs to be a level of respect at all times. Now, the other thing that I think people get confused about, and this is not to demean any type of nurse within the profession, but I don't think that people, the public, appreciates that there are different types of nursing and different levels of nursing care. So if you could just like briefly tell us like a nursing assistant versus like a practical nurse, a registered nurse, and a mental health nurse, you know, nurse practitioner, which we don't really have in Barbados, but you know.
Okay, so you're very right. And the word nurse has been being used quite loosely. And sometimes they think one of the areas of contention for that being present is that sometimes we've lost focus, very uniform in terms of identity. Because you have persons that are in the beauty technician world, they wear scrubs.
Yes.
The persons that work in the nurseries, they're wearing scrubs, and so on. So it becomes confusing. So even going to a hospital, unless persons brandish their ID cards, you're not going to understand what level of nurses they are. So just quickly to go through the different levels of nursing. Nursing can start as low as the half aid / auxiliary. And these slightly differ from the trained nursing assistant. So the different level of nurses are affected by one, the level of training, and two, the scope of practice. Those two major things. So usually a health aid or auxiliary be trained between about 3 to 6 months. And they are trained basically about general adult nursing care. So things like body mechanics and helping a person take care of their activities of daily living, things like bathing, dressing, eating, feeding, and so on. So that would be both the nursing and auxiliary and the nursing, the health aid. In some instances,
Lewis, I'm going to pause here for 1 minute just so that we don't lose our caller, but we can stick up in there because we have a caller on the line.
Okay, no problem.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, please.
Yeah, good evening, Gregston, to you and your esteemed guest.
Very good evening to you.
Good evening.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. We can hear you.
Go right ahead.
Yeah. I'm so happy that the conversation this evening involves nursing. Now, the young nurses that goes to BCCI and come out with the associate then has to do the regional exam to qualify then as a registered nurse. But I know of a lot of nurses with the associate degree and that has failed the regional exams. And the regional exams now is very different from what it used to be years ago. It's now tougher. And you can't, they're not giving you a job in no health institution unless you have that that regional exam certificate. So to say, if you want now even to work as a nursing assistant, you got to go and do a nursing assistant's course to work as a nursing assistant. And it really it boggles the mind to think that somebody can go to the BCC for 3 years and sometimes more, spend thousands of dollars, and then because they didn't pass the regionals, they can't get a job. They cannot get a job as a nurse, even if it's a student nurse. They're saying that you have to have the regional exam certificate. But I want to also add to that by saying this. I know for a fact, because I have researched it, that the nurses down the islands, they get a syllabus on the regional exams. So they are more or less prepared when they go to do this exam. The Beijing nurses are not so fortunate. So the Beijing nurses has to do this thing out of their head. And I was told that a lot of what is taught at the BC, at the community college, is not in the exams when they go to do the exams to get the regionals.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there, because we don't have a representative from the nursing division here on the program, and that's something that I can definitely do in the future. And I thank you for your contribution, but we will not be able to comment in depth about the exam and how it's changed over the years and that sort of thing. Thank you very much.
Let me just close by saying this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I honestly believe that these nurses who go and do the associate degree but fail the regionals should get some kind of work. They should give them some kind of work in these various government institutions.
Sir, the truth is that in medical school as well, the University of the West Indies, even though you finished the 5 years, you have an exam that all 4 campuses have to sit at the end of the 5 years. And if you do not pass that, you do not work. So I'm not sure that the standard is much different from the nurses as it is from doctors, because it's actually an exam that's done across the board similarly.
That is sad though. And especially like I understand what you're saying, right? But especially when I said that, you know, these people can't get no work, and they should be able to fit them in somewhere or the other, because I always say to people saying how short the government institutions are, how short they are of nurses in this country. I personally believe that they should be fitted in somewhere or the other. I'll allow them to work until such time as they pass the regionals, and that is why we are having so much of these young women, and I don't blame them, that leaving this country and going overseas, like especially to the States and doing the state board exams out there and getting work. And in Barbados, we have to study, and they want to give back to the country, because the government and parents spend thousands of dollars on these nurses, and when they're done, they can't get work. I think that's a bit off here. It's something that needs to be looked at. The need to revise the syllabus and sort of make it a little bit easier for these young nurses to get work. Anyway, thanks for taking my call and entertaining me.
Thank you so much. Right, so we don't have somebody from the nursing division, and we do not have I'm not sure, Mr. Lewis, if you would have the statistics of the pass rate, and that's not really what the conversation is about today.
I don't have the statistics about the pass rate. Well, what I can do is I can shed a little light. Persons that are successful at the regional examination level, once they obtain their associate degree from the Barbados Community College, they can, in the interim, still apply at the QEH and maybe government-wide to be a graduate nurse up until a year and a half post their completion at the Barbados Community College. After then, which, if they are not successful, then that tenure will have to come with to a termination, and right. until they are then become successfully trained. And there have been several persons that have done that. He made some other points about making it easier. The thing about it is that life is not getting any easier. And we can't lower the standard no. for a person no. to practice just to accommodate a shortage. We have to set a standard and we have to stick to the standard. Yeah. What we have to do, I agree, maybe is to figure out what the deficits
what
are.
What the deficits, at, yeah.
And to contrast the level and the regional level and mm-hmm. see where the disconnect occurs so that we can give our public or persons that are pursuing the profession their best chances at being successful.
Yeah, so we were talking, we had just touched on the trained versus the untrained nursing assistant, e-health aides. Tell us about a registered nurse, because you hear people, you watch videos online and you see, oh, I'm an RN, and people don't even know what that means. They're a registered nurse.
Mm-hmm. Well, the RN is where I often say responsibility and accountability start,
yes,
as well as autonomy. So the nursing assistant and the health aide and the auxiliary, they usually take directions from the registered nurse. Mm-hmm. The registered nurse is the one that plans and coordinate care for all your loved ones that enter or seek health care at the institutions. So that is going to be the person that is very versed, yes, in obtaining vital signs and so on, being able to, from a nursing perspective, diagnose what some of your issues are. They're going to communicate these issues to the healthcare team, such as yourself, the doctor, and make any recommendations for what other referrals may be necessary for this person in terms of either investigative procedures, getting them all settled in through the admission process. They're the ones that are going to be preparing and administering your medication, monitoring the effects, be it therapeutic or side effects from the medication, and say, doc, well, this is happening as a result of this prescription. What do you want me to do from here? I believe X, Y is occurring. Come and see this doctor. This is one that is going to be very integral in that coordination of care for the person, making sure that the person is well and that they're on their journey to optimal health. So they have the autonomy to do that, whereas nursing assistants, health aides, and auxiliaries, they don't. And this is, again, and like you said, just to reaffirm what you said initially, this is not to dilute the worth of a nursing assistant. Mm-hmm. I've worked with a good set of well-rounded nursing assistants, some that had a lot of experience and some that are just hands-on and on the ball all the time. And yes, over time when you work with them, you allow them some autonomy. You don't have to micromanage mm-hmm. them because you know, well, yes, we've seen hundreds of diabetic patients and you know that if you say blood sugar, of X, Y, Z, what the next steps are to follow. So, but they will communicate to the registered nurse, well, I've just recorded this value from the blood sugar, and this is X, Y, Z. And more or less, the registered nurse will say, okay, let's do this and let's do that. So the nursing assistants, they are very much extension of the eyes, the hands, the ears, the noses of the registered nurse, but the registered nurse mm-hmm. has that ultimate responsibility for caring for that client.
Yeah. And then this one is going to sound funny because when I started, you know, if we go back to the history of nursing, you know, the traditional thing is for a nurse to be a woman, is to be female, right? And I did encounter male nurses when I was at QEH, but it's when I moved on to psychiatric hospital where we have a much greater number of male nurses in comparison to other institutions that I actually sat there and I said, wait, hold on. I know that the nurse in charge is a sister, but what do you call it when there's a male nurse in charge? And that was the first time that I even heard the word nursing, the phrase nursing officer. So for everybody to know, the nurses in charge are nursing officers, whether they're male or female, but we're accustomed to women are calling them sisters. So you can tell us a little bit about what a nursing officer does.
That's quite true. Actually, when I first began and started nursing, I knew nothing about nursing. I didn't even know a male could have been a nurse. So I agree with you. But it is a very rewarding profession. Like I said, I've had humble beginnings. I've started with just an open mind and CSC as a training nursing assistant. And I've made my way up to the nursing officer stage where I am now what would be the... A nursing officer is more or less the ward manager.
Right.
He or she is the one that is over all of the clients on the unit. They're managing and coordinate the care, plan the care, get that healthcare team together, just checking with the nurse that they were assigned as shift leaders and make sure that they have all the resources that they need, from human resources to material resources. So they made sure that there are adequate stock levels, be it medication, be it medical supplies, general supplies, and so on. They also make sure that they have a good staffing complement on the unit, that there are persons with different expertise levels to render the care that is required for the clients that they're serving on the unit. They always would make sure that the integrity of the unit that they're running remains favorable to the outcomes of the client. Make sure that the reporting of lighting, beds, and oxygen, and so on. So it is more administrative. We also record statistics as into what type of clients that we are seeing more or less on a day-to-day basis. So at the end of every month, we prepare a monthly report and submit these statistics so that we can objectively say, I need more of this or I need more of that. We are seeing more of these type of clients. So I think, you know, our training needs should be geared towards this, et cetera. So if you're going to be seeing a lot of persons with ortho issues, why would you need somebody of a mental health issue, more or less? Right. So you try to just put all the correct dots in a line and make sure that you get these things started out, so that you are objective in how you plan care, render care, and seek the best results.
Okay. All right, Gregson, thank you so much. Gregson, I believe you have another caller.
Yes, hi, good evening. How are you doing?
I am good. How are you?
Oh, you know, all of my goodness comes from you. That is good, and I wish goodness to be over. Good as you can be in terms of the aspect of adding some good goodness to the program. Good evening, Mr. Thank you very much. Good evening, Mr. Lewis, as well, and good evening to Gregston. Thank the production team for taking my call. The first question is, in relation to the status, because I didn't hear a lot of the problem because I was trying to get in, sorry for that. But in relation to the status of, in relation to the status of nursing in Barbados today, you know that we're short of nurses by far, and there also is a need for more male nurses as well. What does Mr. Lewis feel about the impact of the status of nursing in Barbados in terms of the future, where you're going to be brought to where you talk about the idiom, the measure of a man? But what is the measure of nursing in terms of the, we just came out of the COVID crisis, future pandemics, that you would need even more nurses than they currently are, or more nurses than people who want to be, who are in the BCC? And the second question is, in relation to what he was talking about just now, the male and female interaction of nurse and client, or well, can I not say female to male, sorry for that, but the male to female, does he believe that male nurses should only deal with male clients, or can they deal with both men and women at the same time? This has been done before, but I'm just asking as we go forward, as I mentioned the question before. And the final question is in relation to the importance of nurse, the advancement of nursing care, and the importance of the advancement of nursing training. When somebody on the team is not there, when you cannot find a nursing assistant, when I just mentioned the COVID crisis, there is a hurricane and something occurs in terms of the anomalies that we face in the nursing system today. In terms of a nursing home, the psychiatric hospital room, Mr. Lewis's, or wherever else, what can be done in terms of the advancement? How important is it from nursing auxiliary, staff nurse, nursing officer, nursing practitioner, and so on? How important is that in terms of the issue of when, like, doc isn't there, the doctor isn't there, or you can't find any trainees, any nursing assistants? What then does the nurse do? How does the nurse play in terms of problem solving and so on in terms of that? Thank you very much. Have a nice night.
Okay, thank you. So the last question, I think, was a bit, I'm not sure if you understood completely. He jumped ahead of me there.
Yeah, because he said two and he ended with three.
Yeah. So the first one we were going to talk about a little later, but I guess we can discuss now to make sure we answer his question is, so what is your opinion basically on the state of nursing?
Right. So let me ask a question too first, as it's quite easy. That's easier. This is the male-female interaction. A nurse is just supposed to be like every other professional person. And yes, well, there are some reservations, but some, they are supposed to objectively be able to attend to both genders. If there are any concerns about the opposite genders, especially the male attending to the female, it's just a matter sometimes of asking a female nurse or doctor, whoever is present, just to accompany you, just to cover you in the cases of any suggested claims of sexual indecencies or unprofessional behavior and so on. But once you render yourself, I've dealt with both female and male clients, and it's even going to get more technical with all the transgenders and so on. It's going to get more complex, the different culture differences, ethical differences. So it's the challenge and the concerns are even beyond gender. So
it's about being professional.
Exactly. So once you're professional, you can deal with anybody under the sun in this hemisphere. So we can nip down the bud right there. The state of nursing, having the benefits of being in the Barbados Nurses Association, we actually submitted a paper to government where we actually identified what deficits in terms numerically that each institution are in deficit of. And I think when we aggregated all the numbers from all the institutions, Barbados was possibly close to almost just over 700 nurses short, 700 to 1,000 nurses short, Barbados wide, to appropriately rendered. In our agitations to have improvement, it has to go against the threat or the threat of our economy. So the government is not really, any person, even if they weren't the government, they're not really going to just expand 1,000 salaries right away off the top, because that's expenditure.
It's almost impossible.
Exactly. So even if the intent is to do good, it's going to have a very negative effect on other areas of our economy. And we do understand that. So then,
From asking for it, though.
You can ask for it and shine the light on, this is where the deficit is. So what is more empirical is that you have to do research where you say, okay, let's do a meta-analysis of our nation. How many psychiatric issues are we having? Pediatric issues, midwife, or government is asking for persons to improve the population. So there's going to be a need for midwives. In the post-pandemic phase, and we've been seeing that you've known in an increase exponentially in mental health issues versus presenting with mental health issues. So psychiatry is going to be top tier. Throughout the height of COVID, we have noted that there was a dire need for that hands-on physical follow-up of nursing where COVID was concerned. Respiratory, the persons that have experience with epidemiology and NPH and so on. We needed those persons then. So the paradigm of healthcare is going to shift from decade to decade. And what you have to do is just keep reshifting resources just so that you can appropriate those needs. So you don't just want to have 100 specialists and then that only becomes topical. So you need to know what is existential throughout life and maintain those. And then they got some that how can we partition this person as a general person that I can make them amenable if we need somebody diabetic here today, or a hypertensive nurse today, or somebody that can float across areas. So, I mean, these are things that this is the conversation that we have to have. And these same things also are peculiar to medicine. So, I mean, we have the same fight, but we just have to sit down at the table and say, what it is we need, where we're going, what our needs are as a nation, and obviously appropriate investment there in those respective areas.
Definitely.
And then, Go ahead. Right. And then to address the importance of the advancement of nursing care, again, and training, it comes then again from that research. And while you have that research, yes, we have been lobbying for the advanced practice nurse or the nurse practitioner. We've been lobbying for it, and we are now in the phase where we are now getting persons to be trained and seeking out persons to be trained. So we have been given the green light, I think about approximately 10 persons, but then we have to have where the allocation to the respective fields are going to be. But we don't just want to just train practitioner nurses and then for the sake of training them. So it has to be benefit, and then we have to look at the evolution of it.
Yeah. So because we can come back to the concept. We can come back to that concept of a nurse practitioner, because I don't think a lot of people understand what it is. We're going to take a call quickly, and then we're going to come back to that.
No problem.
Go ahead, Gregson.
Hello, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, if your radio is on, just turn your radio down a bit for me, because I'm hearing some feedback already. So if your device is on, please turn it down so that you can hear the doctor and her guests clearly, and they can hear you, okay?
I could hear them doing breaks, sir.
Yeah, but we can also hear you coming back at us. So
you see, don't forget, I have a disability, so I get the radio now.
All right, we'll ask your question quickly.
Hold on a bit. Let me see if I can get my wife
Yeah.
You can ask your wife to do it. Yeah, because it's coming back really, really lonely to us. Yeah, he says he's going to ask his wife to do it.
I'm not hearing her.
All right, well, you go ahead and ask your question quickly.
I'm sorry, you go ahead.
My question is that what I would like the nurses to do is go back to breastfeeding. That's where nurses start from to me. Unfortunately, the guy is not a lady, so he wouldn't say. But I spent 6 weeks in the hospital, and they have me so frightened to go back there now. When I'm here, I'm frightened to go. I really got some bad treatment in there. So unless it changed in 2001, my experience haven't been really well in there.
All right.
Negative comments, but that is the truth.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Breastfeeding, I think that's where they start from. They will learn a lot.
Okay.
All right. We want to thank you for your call, because we can't extend the length of the call any longer because of the quality coming back at us, you see. But we get the gist of what you're saying. But you said 2001. It's now 2023. So I hope and I believe there has been some improvement. But I'll let the guest and the doctor take that on. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, you can go ahead, Mr. Lewis. I mean, well, he brings about a point. One, let me just say I'm sorry that your experience was not a good one whenever it was at the hospital. Neither of us were there, but we are part of the medical team, so we apologize. And Gregson's very right, it's 2023, so things have evolved and they've changed. But he did bring up a point that I was going to raise, which is I don't think that the general public recognizes that nurses actually specialize just like how doctors do. So he's talking about breastfeeding, but that will fall under the midwife and the pediatric nurse. But so just tell us a little bit about specialties in nursing.
Well, there are several specialties in nursing. Nursing, like we spoke about earlier, is very, very, very widespread. And just as there are several disciplines in medicine, they are just as much in nursing. So you can get from orthopedics, orthopedics deals with bones, musculoskeletal system, can get persons in critical care. So those trauma persons, if you go to accident and emergency, usually that's critical care nursing most often, or the ICUs and so on. There's forensics, where persons more or less investigate why things are occurring, why this particular condition is happening to you, or what is actually going on with you before we actually confirm a diagnosis to that individual. There's also gerontology, there's an aging population and an aging workforce, so our geriatric care system, there's gerontology, gerontological nursing, which is very, 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 very important, because we get to a point where we are supposed to be enjoying where life begins, that's what persons say, and then it often accompanies something by suffering. This is where the emergence of NCDs either starts or they start to deteriorate. And we want to maintain that person's quality of life until they close their eyes. We want to keep them. We want as much centenarians as we can get in Barbados. There's psychiatry, that is my pursuit, and Dr. Forrest St. Hill's pursuit. So psychiatry is very integral. And I must say that among all of these disciplines, psychiatry is baseline to all of them. When you get any diagnosis, be it diabetes, a fracture, you have to go to surgery and so on, there is a psychiatry and a psychological component that comes out from that conversation. And persons that we quote unquote relatively deem to be normal, they often then either become depressive, anxious, and so on. And these are different and varying forms of psychiatric symptoms that we need to mitigate for that person. We saw that very, very, very vividly through COVID, where any viral infection, let alone COVID, also superimposed or was the bedrock for persons displaying psychiatric symptoms. There's pediatrics that's dealing with children. There is the ACU or nephrology or dialysis nurse. As a nurse that's going to take care of your kidney health and you go and get started. There's the oncology nurse, anesthetist. There's a midwife. And this can go on and go on and go on. So to answer the question of where can nursing take you any specific way in terms of practice and speciality, so there's no stopping. And then if you don't want to be a specialist, there's always the educator, there's always the researcher, there's always the informatics, there's always the tutor. Or if you just want to get into policy making and agitate and shape our national health policy, there are avenues for that as well. Exactly. So there's several avenues for that. And if you want to get out of the health system and be like our first and lone female governor general, Damita Barrow, she was a nurse. Very first. She was a nurse. So the nurse is a bedrock for anything. And we learned a very valuable tool called the nursing process, where we assess, we diagnose, we plan, we intervene, and we evaluate. And if you can transpose those technical terms to any echelon of life, you will see how valuable it is. And you can apply it. I have applied it to other areas of my life beyond nursing, and I have proven to be very, very valuable. So a nurse is very, very, very instrumental, and they can be very, very flexible. You will see that nurses don't usually have, especially nurses and barbers, we oftentimes don't have all the accurate tools to work with, but we get things done and we make things happen.
All right.
We improvise a lot and we get that job done.
So I know for the public, but for me as well, I know that at community college, there is a mental health nursing program. And there's also a midwifery program. So that would be the nurses who deal with labor and delivery and antenatal as well as postnatal care. But are there other areas here or other training programs here for nurses to specialize besides those two?
Well, besides those two, there will be the gerontology program.
Okay.
Obviously, there's the nursing assistant, the auxiliary, and there's also pre-health persons that just need a different entry to get in and just to organically grow up to the wherever their pinnacle is. So yes, there is the general nursing, the psychiatric, there's the nursing midwife or midwifery. There's the Barbados Community College. They're now implemented a postgraduate diploma in pediatric nursing, as well as a master's in general or adult nursing care. So we are now organically expanding our wings. Is also for a person, like I said, there's informatics and there's a researcher. So there are other areas that you can get into, but obviously you don't have to be limited by the shores of Barbados. There are other grants and scholarships that you can look to obtain or pursue. And obviously make sure that whatever course you are pursuing is accredited by the Barbados Accreditation Council and just go after it. And what you can do is come back and help shape the foundation or the social landscape or the nursing landscape for which we have here.
Yeah, and that segues into my next question, because we have a similar issue here now in terms of the region when it comes to specializing and residency and fellowship programs in medicine and the whole, well, I mean, not just medicine and nursing, but, you know, we've heard our prime minister speak about the brain drain, quote unquote, that we have. And we have seen in the, you know, the ministers and the chief nursing officer, everybody speak about the fact that we are having an exodus of nurses who are going on to other areas. Now, I just want you to comment on, without getting in trouble, just comment on the brain drain that we're having. So, you know, you're encouraging persons to go and specialize, and you're encouraging them to, ideally what we would like is for them to come back. But that's not always the case. There are persons, particularly younger nurses, who are moving on to North America, to other places in the Caribbean, like Bermuda and Cayman Islands, and going on to England as well. So what are some of the, and to be honest, there's actually nothing necessarily wrong with that, because it's very good to get experience in different different countries, different health systems. But of course, that leaves us with a deficit. So just, I guess I want to know, what are some of the reasons that persons, that nurses are leaving or are not returning, I should say?
Well, there's several reasons. And the exodus in nursing or exodus of even any type of profession is not anything peculiar. No, it's probably more apparent as we realize what the fallout is. We've had the exodus in the 90s. We've had the exodus in the first decade of the 21st century. And now we're seeing it again in the third decade. We've had it continuously. What we are not quite competitive with the international markets in terms of pay for service, right? So although we are spending dollar for dollar in each territory, sometimes it's very competitive as to what it is that we are offering and what it is that we want for ourselves. We have to ask ourselves some very, very serious questions. Why is it that a lot of the international territories are shopping in the Caribbean and especially Barbados for our nurses? So if we realize that Barbados is the hub for producing quality good nurses, then obviously we should look at improving and going back to having our own nursing school. In the older days, we had in Tercentenary School right there opposite the now Queen Davis Hospital. So that we can train excess, keep persons here. We know that a percentage is going to go out, and we're going to have a revolving amount of nursing throughout the internship. So the QH hospital should never be short of nursing. So even throughout your internship tenure, best care practices should still be paramount, be it whether or not you're a nursing, already trained nurse or not. It's during your internship that you do everything that is typical, everything that is classroom associated. We know this. So if you know that on average every 5 years, 100 nurses are going out, well, I need to train at some other nurses over this particular time, so that when these 100 go, I know that there are more coming in. It remains cyclic and revolving, and that persons' care are getting attended to. We have also seen a disconnect between the arms, the different pillars of the healthcare system, education, the institution and practice institutions, the legislative arm, and of course the, well, yes, those main three, where that they need to be more deepening and integration among these three. When there are changes in healthcare and practicing and modalities of how we treat persons and conditions, we need to have that tandem where college and the institutional leaders, they communicate. Say, look, we're doing dressings differently. So I need your nurses that you have practicing. I want to come in the auditorium and do a showcase. Mm-hmm. We need more of that. Or send them back for refreshers training. Yes, there's CPEs and so on, but sometimes it could be a bit slow to what is really needed. But to really shed light as to why persons are leaving short, there are a lot of unmet HR issues, human resource issues, that tend to precede focus as to why persons remain in Barbados. So you've heard many cries, you've seen many newspaper clippings about taking 3 months to get paid, not yes. getting uniform.
And that is a shame.
And this continues in 2023. Mm-hmm. I for one, put in your first month pay, but at the second month, you should be getting paid continuously.
Correct.
That is me.
Correct.
And that's what I believe.
You should be paid.
Yeah, your worker should be paid. So whatever yeah. system you need to get in there to get that result done, get it done. I don't think nobody should be having to say, I ain't getting paid for 3 months, my mortgage on the line, I got to go into foreclosure, or I got to carry back the car, or I have temporary status on my pay slip for the lending institution. I don't want to do business for me.
I am
determined to be high risk, because technically being temporary, I don't have a job. I can be discontinued at a moment's notice. So we need to get these things fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to benchmark what is working, what is needed as a society for every individual to thrive as a Barbadian citizen and get these things right. Sometimes people leave because of a difference of $500 or something to $1,000.
It's true, so it's just the condition.
It's the conditions. So sometimes there's going to be money, but
mm-hmm.
there are other things that we place greater value on, and we need to find out what those things are and see where these changes can occur.
Yeah. See, we can stick a pin there. We have a caller, Elaine.
Yes, good night. God bless.
Hey, good night.
Yes, good night. Thank you. I want to thank you, and I have a quick question to ask. It's very interesting, the discussion. I really am learning so much about the things that I didn't know about nursing. Especially psychiatric nursing from Mr. Ryan Lewis. Now, Mr. Lewis, you were Nurse of the Year 2019, and let me congratulate you for that.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. What defines a nurse for you in terms of not only, a person who is trained to deliver and administer care, such as bathing, feeding, and so on, and one who can specialize, can psychiatric nurse can work at the psychiatric hospital and deal with mental health patients and deal with mental health for themselves. What do you define as that most memorable moment for you in terms of being Nurse of the Year in 2019, based on the definition that I gave? What do you see as the perfect nurse? Thank you.
Wow, that's a heavy question.
That's a very heavy question. But thank you for your question. I would attempt to answer it. Honestly, in 2020, it was on the cusp of COVID. I remember that. And I believe every nurse in Barbados should have been Nurse of the Year. There is no set of things that really define what humility, your passion for wanting to help others. A lot of the time, I tell persons and my mentees, if you're coming in nursing for money, maybe you need to find a different career path. I'm pretty sure
that
you
correct.
You need to tell
medicine is not where you belong.
Exactly. there's no price tag you can put on the level of compassion and care that you offer others. That is something that comes within, and there's no justifiable value or cost that you can attach to that. And there are several of persons out there that have that modus operandi, that when they interact with you and they assist you in your most vulnerable period time of life, you know that you are loved and that there's an earth angel next to you helping you.
Oh no, yes.
Right, you know that person means well. They care for every being and every fiber in you. They want to make sure that they regard life on a whole. They regard life, not just yours or not just theirs, but they regard life. And when you meet that person, I urge whoever you are that is interacting with that person, that when you have the strength to talk and to walk, that you say thank you. You don't have to give them a monetary donation. You don't have to give them flowers or anything. Just tell them thank you, because they go through a lot. They put all of their own personal issues at the side to assist you with yours. They put you before themselves, and that is the very definition of service above self in nursing. Mm-hmm. So there's no particular set of things. You don't have to be this awesome nurse. You just have to be a good humanitarian that have the skills of that of a nurse. And I would tell a person, to me, love is the best skill that a nurse can ever equip himself with. And when you have that love for a human and mankind, all the rest will fit into play.
Yeah. So we have just about 3 minutes left. So let's finish off with the concept of a nurse practitioner. So just explain to our callers, well, our listeners, what a nurse practitioner really is.
So nurse practitioner, which we are now in the talks of getting to be established. So I would have said earlier in the conversation that the responsibility and autonomy starts at the level of the registered nurse.
Yeah.
Then we go up the tier until the sister and so on. So once you get to nursing officer, you're more branching into management as opposed to practice.
Yeah.
So a nurse practitioner is an advanced practice nurse that has more or less prescribing rights and have greater autonomy like that of a doctor. They're almost, well, when we kind of conceptualize it, it would be almost likened to that of the house officer or senior officer or senior house officer around that line. But
so a junior doctor,
right. But we still have to iron out the protocol because we still try to maintain that team. We don't want, we still can't work in silos. So we still need communication with the arm of medicine to say, okay, I can intervene on this autonomously, but I still need to check in and let the medical team that is still overseeing this client know what is going on. Right? So that they can agree with your plan or we can have a more professional conversation and change the direct route of what the person needs or care is what is required for that person. So the difference now is that that person, yes, being paid at a higher scale and so on, they're going to have more autonomy. They're going to have prescribing rights and they're going to operate similarly to that as a junior doctor, more or less. So we can have that person in the community setting, we can have that person in the institutional setting, or we can have that person in a private setting. Because they'll be able to be registered, they'll be licensed, and they'll be assessed and so on to make sure that they're keeping with changing the modalities, the treatments, and so on, just like everything else. Yes, initially there's going to be some reservations to it. You just have to work out the logistics as to the reporting lines, and remember that the client is our object. Focus.
Correct. So thank you so much, Mr. Lewis. This has been a very informative session, and we have not even finished some of the things we wanted to talk about because we wanted to discuss community care and even travel nursing, which became a big thing during the pandemic. So there are a lot of concepts. So we have to do a part two.
Definitely. I'm at your disposal. Just give me a heads up and I'll be here. You're welcome.
Yes. So thank you so much for joining us and thank you so much to our listeners and thank you, Gregson, as always, for facilitating.
All right.
You're welcome. Have a good evening.
Thank you so kindly. Our guest this evening was, should I say nursing officer? Is that a correct term to describe Mr. Ryan Lewis? All right. She tells me yes. All right. So thank you, sir. Your contribution was valuable, and I've still got some callers here on the line, but unfortunately we are out of time. And remember, if you're going to try to get through to us, don't wait until 5 minutes to seven, because we have to step off the boat at that time. So we thank you, though, for calling. So the good doc says that we'll do a part two, so when Mr. Lewis is here again, you'll have another opportunity to pose your questions if you are on the dial when he comes around again. So thank you, Mr. Lewis.
Gregson. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, please.
Gregson, I don't know if I'm overstepping, but if it's possible for some of those callers to maybe send the questions or comments by WhatsApp to Gregson so that he can forward them to me so that we will have somewhere to start for the next conversation.
All right. So you hear that? If you do fancy that, you can do that and I'll note them down for the good doctor. But thank you, Dr. Lewis. I beg your pardon. Thank you, Dr. Keir Fortune Hill. And of course, our guest this evening was nursing officer Ryan Lewis. Thank you all and have yourselves a wonderful Sunday evening. All right, just about 2 minutes after seven is our time.
You too.
And up next, we've got for you Cheryl and her Just Jazz program. Don't forget, next weekend, you do the same thing again, 6 o'clock, Better Health Radio Show. So please tune in for that.